This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
I'm not a huge Beyonce fan.
I don't really know her music that much, except when I was a boy or something.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sheebrick with a pass left corner, had open three for the tie. Good! Wiley Head knocks down a three!
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpup.
Pyle dribbling in and a one-handed jam! This place is rocking! And Pyle with 15 as he slams it down with authority!
Everything happening in the sports world.
Could be another one.
Here comes Jake with a left-handed jam! Hey boy, we're rolling here in Salina!
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
Steve has a great feel for Lifetime movies, despite 5 minutes ago saying, I don't know what Lifetime movies are.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Or for those of you listening online, worldwide at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the man in red, getting ready for a couple of big golf rounds this weekend, Mr. Steve Sell. Good afternoon.
It's going to be a busy weekend because I'm going to be pulling double
Yeah, you're
duty.
Double dipping on Saturday morning.
Ooh, 36 holes. It's been a while since I've played 36, but I'm hoping the first 18 being a scramble.
The hammy doesn't blow out on
you. Well, the hammy. You know, I always worry about the hammy. But the first 18's a scramble from the white tee, so that shouldn't really tax me too much.
Well, speaking of a busy weekend for golf, anytime we have a major rolling up, you know who we have to have in studio.
Our man.
He's here today. Turkey Creek Golf Course's Treg Fall, friend of the show. Treg, good to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to be back. You know,
you're a fan favorite.
Yeah, you guys have a tough task on Saturday, I'll tell you that, because me and the football coaches have won this thing 3 years in a row, so
I think that we have a pretty good squad.
Your
and
squad's
that we are
solid.
Going to have a chance.
I don't know if you have a chance to compete with the big boys, but you guys will be in the mix.
Yeah,
maybe.
We could just win the second flight. You guys will just be down there. We're going to need the rest of the football coaching squad to have a big Friday night out somewhere.
Now.
We need you to have a big Friday night out somewhere and come in a little slow.
Who is the four this year for you guys?
Well, it's myself. It's the same four every year. Myself, Matt Sambo, he's the quarterback's coach. Scott Davis is the D-line coach. And then Dave Gorzon's the safety's coach.
Oh, we can handle
that. Yeah.
We
ragtag group.
We have this. I've played in a lot of scrambles. This team has the best chemistry of any team I've ever been on. We have the most fun. We know exactly who's hitting in what order.
And we know you're driving the ball and the other three watch, and then, of course, Coach Sambo can hit it a long way.
Sambo's a good player, yeah. And you know, Scotty D and Gorzon got decent short games. They can, you know, hit some shots and make some putts. So it's a lot of fun. We enjoy it.
We've got a pretty good group.
Well, we had three. I don't know if we got our fourth.
Oh, we got our fourth.
We got our Johnny G.
Johnny G.
Well, we'll be big off the tee then. Johnny G hits it a mile.
Yeah,
and
Johnny
plus
G
we're playing off
it.
The whites. Now, how many times over-under you think Steve is going to make a comment about playing from the white tees?
Oh, he'll,
and saying, oh, this is going to throw me off.
Yep, he'll hit a drive on one of the holes and be too close, and he'll...
Oh, yeah.
He'll say, God, I'm just not used to playing these white tees. I need to back it up a little bit. So if you want, we'll let you back up to the blues and hit a few. But this will be a fun weekend for us. We're going to talk a little bit about the Open Championship coming up this weekend from Carnoustie in Scotland.
And it is regarded as the toughest of all the layouts in the Rota.
Yep.
Call it the Rota.
That's what Tom Watson was saying, too.
It's the hardest one. It's not the best course. The old course at St. Andrews mm-hmm. is still, I mean, it gets the most tournaments. But Carnoustie is regarded as the toughest.
Carnoustie is what they call it sometimes.
Yeah.
When
yeah,
it rears
but
its head.
I looked at it, and it looks like Rolling Acres.
Yeah.
It's rolling,
When it hasn't had rain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if you saw the tournament last weekend, I think it was the Scottish Open.
Yeah.
The ball was rolling about 200 yards.
Same kind of deal, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, Tiger's got to hit the driver because he's going to hit it 600 yards probably over there.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's going to come down to putting. That's what the whole thing comes down to putting. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Well, before we dive into that, there was some big news in the NBA this morning, and Treg's a big NBA guy. And the story has continued to develop this morning and into the afternoon. Everybody was thinking, okay, Kawhi Leonard, he's going to go follow LeBron James out to L.A. The Lakers are going to give the Warriors a run for their money. But Mr. Leonard wasn't doing a whole lot of communicating with the San Antonio Spurs. He only played in like 9 games last year. Greg Popovich was trying to rail him in and get him to speak to him, going out to L.A. to meet with him. And the Spurs finally figured it out today that they would move on, and they reached a trade with the Toronto Raptors, which sends Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green to Toronto. Danny Green helped them win that NBA Finals for DeMar DeRozan, and I don't remember, and maybe Jakob Poeltl from Toronto. So neither player, Kawhi Leonard or DeMar DeRozan, is very happy with what just happened.
Well, what I've been... My understanding is now Toronto's trying to pit the Clippers and Lakers against each other, and they're going to move him to one of those two teams and really get a package deal. But because why would you want a player that basically does not want to play for you? I mean, he does not want to play. He only wants to play for one of the two teams in L.A., and we don't even know if he can play. No one's seen him play.
No one's heard from him.
I think one thing is, I think he's got some people handling him that have really given him some bad advice. I mean, they've made him a villain around the NBA. And
he turned down signing that Supermax deal.
Yeah, he could have had the biggest contract that's allowed, and he said, no way, Jose, I'm out of here. I'm on the next bus to Toronto. And as
Stephen A. Smith said it's his fault that the Spurs exiled him out of the country.
Well, wait till Kawhi gets up there and sees the tax laws in Canada. And then he's going to really say, I'm not going
to
go.
Texas is the best place to be a professional athlete.
It is. Yeah. It is. I mean, good grief. He goes to Canada and half his paycheck goes to Trudeau.
or the maple leaf industry.
Well, yeah.
Treg, you've got DeMar DeRozan's quote from earlier this morning in front of you.
Yeah, I was following it there. You know, Kawhi Leonard doesn't want to be there. DeMar DeRozan was quoted saying, can't trust him. Ain't no loyalty in this game. Sell you out quick for a little bit of nothing. So he does not want to. He did not want to leave.
They just told DeRozan a couple months ago or a couple weeks ago, they were not going to trade him. He was going to be a Raptor for life.
He's their franchise player.
Franchise player, and now he's in Texas. You know, if I were him, San Antonio could be pretty good if he just plays.
So. What a weird offseason for the Raptors. They were the number one team in the East. They lose to the Cavs in the semifinals, and they fire their coach and trade their best player. And
fired the coach of the year.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, the coach, he goes up to get his award. Well, by the way, I just got fired a couple weeks ago, but it's nice to be coach of the year. So, man, what a mess.
What a weird.
And this thing's got a long way to go to play out. I think in the end, Kawhi Leonard is going to be maybe a Clipper or a Laker at the start of next season. I really believe that.
Kawhi Leonard, I don't know if this is going to end up exactly how he wants it, but if it doesn't, I think he really only has himself to blame.
And he doesn't want to play with LeBron.
Which is weird.
Because he said, I want to be the number one. I want to be the alpha dog. I don't want to be the omega dog. I want to be the alpha dog.
If he ends up getting what he wants and gets put on the team that he wants to be on, then maybe this all worked out well. But if he gets stuck in Toronto and didn't sign that Supermax deal, he's going to look really, really dumb. And he deserves all of this.
Yeah.
If you don't communicate with the team all year, if you just leave and don't tell them anything at the end of the year, I get that every now and then there will be moves that people want to make. But you always feel happy for the people when they're straightforward about it. Or when it comes to like coaching changes and they say, hey, I might be moving on at the end of the year, give you some time to think about what you want to do and in terms of moving on. He didn't really help out the Spurs at all. And when you do that, the Spurs aren't going to help you out either, and they're going to ship you away. So that was some of the big news earlier this morning. Treg, we need to get a little recap of your city tournament golf championship win. Okay. Because Steve, I mean, he hyped it up and he put the pressure on you and said, oh, well, Treg is destined to be the all-time city champion leader. He put the pressure on you. And then you went out and, you know, went big at the country club on day number one and sort of blew everybody away.
Yeah, well, I really had my A game at the country club after the first three holes. You know, I started 2 over through 3, and I played about as good as I could after that. Then I kind of had my B game to start, you know, the front nine of the Rolling Acres and kind of kicked
it
in gear.
Old Tony was there to pick you up.
And then I did not play that great the last day. I just played, you know, about average, but I was really hoping to beat that tournament low record. I think the tournament low record's 208. I was wanting to get 207. I was in good position. I screwed it up at Rolly, but you know, it was a lot of fun playing my dad again and us. I didn't know we were that close, but luckily we held on by one stroke. We had a team firing 63 on us. But
they took our third place money away from us. We finished up. We'd played with Chris Stuckey and Jason Bushbaum, and we beat them by one shot. We're thinking, well, we're going to get third. We had no idea what was going on behind us at those or ahead of us, and those guys shot 63. So hats off to them, Daniel Mitchell and
Zach Locke.
I mean, that's not a team that you would think that would shoot 63, but that just shows anything can happen in golf. And I always say when Treg wins the City Golf Tournament, he wins it at the Country Club, and that proved to be, you know, proved out again. Because
what'd you shoot at the Country Club?
We don't want to talk about it. It's got the number of keys on a piano. I'll say that I was a little bit frustrated at the Country Club because I was 2 over after 5 holes. I was 2 over on the last 5 holes, and the middle, what would that be, 10 holes?
It was not good.
Yeah, the middle 10 holes.
We won't replay that.
No,
for you.
I just struggled the beginning of my rounds.
I was not playing well going in. I played okay at the Country Club. What hurt me at the Country Club is that if I make about an 18-inch putt, I shoot 35 on my first nine at the Country Club. I missed that. It got into my head. I carried it over for about 3 holes. I lost about 4 shots. And then I didn't play very good on my home course at Turkey Creek. I mean, 76, it's okay, but...
Treg, does it surprise you that Steve got in his own head?
Well, at the Country Club out there, you miss a short putt or don't feel, you know, comfortable on those greens, you're gonna have an insurmountable problem out there.
I had a 5-putt on number 3, so I got above the hole and then putted one off the green. But you know, I'm 61 years old. Just even, you know, we got 4th in the team. You know,
it's pretty good.
Yeah, my partner's over 60, so. You know, just to be 4th in the team, I felt pretty good about it. I'm not an elite player. I know that. I mean, I used to make championship flight every year, but I know I'm not an elite player anymore.
This is like Steve's intervention.
Yeah, I don't putt it. I don't putt it well enough. That's all there is to it.
Well, we have a fun weekend coming up with the Bullpup Football Golf Tournament. We had Coach Pav in studio yesterday, Treg. You starting to get excited for football season?
Oh yeah, I'm always excited for football season. It's right around the corner. A lot of fun things coming up.
A lot of busyness for you.
Yeah, it's pretty busy.
And then you get right into basketball season, stays a little busy.
Yeah, you know, I'm not technically on the staff anymore, but I help them out still a little bit. So Coach Gorzen's working at the golf course right now, and we were talking about some stuff. But, you know, they just finished up some 7-on-7. I talked to some of them about it. Went pretty well. Lost some close games on some unlucky, unfortunate things that happen, but they'll be good. You know, I'm excited to see who steps up on the defense side of the ball and we plug in there and who.
Well, we know the offense is going to be good. Yep, everybody stays healthy. Mm-hmm. We'll find an offensive line. We always do. I mean, that's the number one question going into the season, and it always pans out. So we got the skilled people, got Kyler Hoppus back at quarterback, the bus at running back, got 4 really good receivers. Van Gotham will be one of the best linemen in 4A. It's finding those other 4 linemen spots, and I think he's found some good guys.
Yeah, Courtney Craig's going to be a really good center for us. Noah Avila's been doing really good at right tackle, I've heard. So, you know, we got some guys that'll be in the mix there. We'll just have to find the right – you know, Coach Corcoran does a good job. He'll find the right rotation.
Just
got
to stay healthy. This year, more than any year that we've had, it's imperative we stay healthy because we just don't have the depth this year.
Yep.
Let's take our first break. When we come back, we get into what Treg has come into the studio to talk about, and that is the 147th Open Championship, which starts tomorrow. Well, almost starts today because it's over across the pond, 6 hours difference, and they will be teeing off very early in the morning. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve yourself. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on this afternoon's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE. Jim Joyner, Steve Sell, and Turkey Creek Golf Course's Treg Fall in studio today to preview the 147th Open Championship, otherwise known as the British Open. That's what I always knew it as, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh no, the Open Championship.
The Open.
It will be a fun weekend to see what happens throughout the PGA, and so far this year, the two majors have been good. Masters was a lot of fun, U.S. Open was a lot of fun. I don't think I'm going to see Steve betting on Tiger Woods this weekend.
I gave up on Tiger after the Masters. He cost me money. Tiger, he just can't seem to hold it together. You know, he'll have stretches where he looks like the Tiger old, but then he sprays it around. He may have spent a lot of time in those little pot bunkers this week.
So, Treg, for people that hear this term all the time and they don't understand it, can you describe what a Lynx course is? Because that is the typical British style of play, and some people might be saying, okay, what does that mean?
Yeah, so the courses are a little bit different there. They're set up a little different. If you watch it on TV, you'll see the tee boxes are green, and the putting greens around that area are green as well. They water those, so they keep those nice. And then everything else, if you look on it, it's bone dry. The fairways, you know, you hit a ball, it'll roll 50 to 80 yards. So you got to get creative with your shot making. So a lot of those Lynx style courses, they have those pop bunkers. All those guys talk about, got to stay at them, because you hit it in one of those, it's equivalent to like hitting it in the water over here in the States.
You're basically
States.
Hitting out of the bunker just to get it out.
Yeah, a penalty. It's pretty much a penalty
shot.
Yeah,
you're playing just popping outside it out about 50 yards or 40 yards, whatever.
And then when you get around the greens, you know, it's so dry and firm and fast, you're playing different style of shots. It's really hard to hit flop shots off of that because it's so tight. I mean, I don't know if you've seen Phil Mickelson. He was doing it with ease.
I saw that one.
But normally you're hitting these low driving shots into mounds, letting it roll and bound
and
up there.
And the undulation
close to the hole
on the greens is just crazy.
I mean, the
greens are just there's no flat green.
Yeah.
Over.
Even in the fairways too. You know, this is the major I think you got to get the most fortunate in to win, because part of it's the draw. The weather always changes. If you're stuck on the bad draw where you tee off morning, afternoon, and the weather's bad, you know, because it always switches. And the other thing is, you could hit a mound in the fairway and kick it right or left into one of those pop bunkers when you didn't even think you're even close to it. So it's one of those majors that
it takes a lot of creativity.
Yeah,
it really does.
You got to be fortunate, and you got to be able to control your golf ball. I mean, you got to be able to hit those low shots into the wind or those high shots to make it stop. You know, those. If the wind kicks up, you got to be able to hit those penetrating shots.
And there's a lot of rain, and there's always rains at some point.
Yep. So make sure you bring plenty of gloves and rain gear.
From what I've seen, Carnoustie is very dry, and there's going to be some just incredible. You're going to see guys hitting 400 yard drives and not even thinking twice about it.
Yeah, I was listening to Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson's interview, and these guys could absolutely tear it up. A lot of guys are talking about laying short of the pop bunkers, doing this and that, and it was interesting listening to Brooks and DJ saying, I'm going to hit driver, I think, 9 times, and I haven't heard anybody say that. You know, I'm just going to take these pop bunkers out of play. I know the right's where you can't miss it. It's dry enough. The rough's not that big a penalty. I'm just going to bomb it up there, get it within 40 yards of the green. And I'm thinking to myself, if these guys drivers on and they're hitting where they're thinking, they might tear this place apart. But then again, if you're just a little bit off and hit it in one of those bunkers, it could be a long day.
But then so if the wind comes up, you can see a +3 leading the tournament after the first day.
It's all about the weather and wind. If it stays calm, guys will have good scores. If the wind comes up, you're going to see guys
counting,
out of the tournament.
They're counting on the wind
and
the rain, because that's their only defense they're going to have. Because if it's calm, this course is just going to it's going to be a massacre.
Yeah.
Well, Treg, we haven't really been able to have you in since the U.S. Open, when everybody was complaining about the scores and how tough the course was. And, of course, this is just a different type of animal in the Open compared to the U.S. Open. But do you think that was bad for golf? Do you think people didn't like that? What were your thoughts on such high scores?
It's kind of mixed emotions for me. You know, my view, it was kind of, I didn't like it because I thought it was unfair. Some of the shots some of the guys hit, you shouldn't be penalized like that for a great shot. I think, I don't remember who it was, on 15 hit a great bunker shot. They were short-sighted, clipped it perfect, and it rolled about 5 feet past, and it just kept going all the way off the green.
You know,
and
at least the USGA came out and said, we made a mistake. It was the third round, I believe. They said, we made a mistake. We put the pins in places that were...
They weren't accounting for the wind.
Right.
And then the other thing that I think that, you know, is kind of good for golf is the average golfer turns it on, doesn't know much about golf. They're like, that kind of looks like me out there. I'll go play again, you know. So it's kind of one of those things where...
It's good for your business.
Yeah, but I didn't like it, you know. I thought Dustin Johnson, that where he played later that day when he had the big lead, I didn't think that was fair to him. But then, you know, he still had a chance to win and he didn't get it done. So it's just one of those things where they got it wrong and hopefully they learned from it.
Well, as we look at the third major of the year, Brooks Koepka won the U.S. Open. Patrick Reed won the Masters. Are either of those two going to find a way to do it over across the pond?
Well, I like the American theme for sure. I hope Americans keep winning. But Brooks Koepka has the perfect personality to win tournaments like this. He gets in a different mode come major championship time. I mean, if you listen to any of his interviews, I have him ranked number one on my power rankings. I don't know if that's necessarily my pick, but I think he has the best chance out of anybody just the way he goes about his business. He doesn't let anything bother him. You know, it takes a guy like a Brooks Koepka, like a Dustin Johnson, that just let, like a Ricky Fowler, that just let things roll off their back, especially when you hit a, you think is a good shot and it hits a mound and goes into a pop bunker and you got to play for, you know, par or bogey, which that'll happen. You know, the other guys that have a good shot with that same demeanor are the Justin Roses, the Tommy Fleetwoods, the Alex Norins, you know, these guys that you're going to see pop up on the European Ryder Cup team that's going to cause problems for the U.S.
And I still think the European players have a monster advantage because they're used to this
style.
Our guys only play it once a year, basically.
Yeah. The two Europeans that I think could win it is Jon Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton, but they have such tempers, I don't know if they'll be able to get it done because you're going to your patience is going to be tested.
Jon Rahm went crazy, or was that the Masters? He sort of lost his cool at the end
Masters.
Of the Masters.
Yeah, he was in the hunt in the Masters. Yeah. I like Justin Rose.
Justin Rose is the one that's, you know, him and Fleetwood are the calm ones that just kind of let things roll off their back, like the DJs and the Brooks Koepkas and the Ricky Fowler. So it's,
I think Henrik Stenson.
Stenson's another one.
Stenson's a guy that's got the perfect demeanor. You know, he's a European golfer.
He's a Swede.
He hits that three wood that'll just go forever.
Yeah.
And I like his chances too.
Yeah.
Now here we are 5 minutes into talking about players in this field, and the guy we haven't said yet is the reigning champ, Jordan Spieth.
You know, that's what we were talking about before. I made this top 10 list out, and my top three, I'm a little USA biased, but I put Koepka, DJ, Ricky, and then my 4 through 10 are all Europeans. I do not have Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, or Rory McIlroy in my top 10, and that's unusual for something like this. And that also tells you how deep this field is.
And that those guys aren't really playing.
They're not in the best form
right
now.
They're not in form right now.
But Jordan Spieth can, out of nowhere, just, he's one of those guys that he looks like he'd be playing bad, and then all of a sudden he's dominating.
And I think Justin Thomas, I don't think he's this kind of links golfer. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that sets up for his game.
Yeah, and Rory McIlroy the same way. If it blows, Rory's kind of, he doesn't really like the wind too much. He's a high ball hitter.
I just got a text from a fan says, "Where's Westwood? How come you haven't mentioned Westwood?" So you know who that is.
Westwood actually
is he played, even in the tournament?
Yeah, he played well last week.
Oh yeah, here he is. He's like four from the bottom.
He was in the mix. The thing that comes down to Westwood, he'll be in the mix the first 2 days. He'll make the cut, and then his putter's going to let him down.
Oh,
that's why I don't even want to talk about him, Coach Kinnaman.
Well, I think you know. I think you know probably the big Westwood fan.
Yeah, it was Coach Kinnaman.
Yeah, Coach Kinnaman. Yeah.
What about some of the guys that have won this in the past? I mean, a Zach Johnson. I know you mentioned Rory McIlroy. Phil Mickelson won it in 2013. Some of those guys that are they have had success at winning at this stage. What about some of those guys that maybe aren't looked at as highly?
Yeah, you know, it's there's so many good players in these tournaments now. It's so deep, it's hard to get everybody. But Zach Johnson's another guy. He controls his golf ball well. He knows what he plays. He knows what to hit. He's a good putter. You know, it's just if he just doesn't hit it far enough for me to put him in the top. But if, you know, he's on controlling his golf ball, he's there. Phil Mickelson, he's kind of been up and down this year. I don't know how to pick him or not.
Louis Oosthuizen's a guy, I think.
Louis Oosthuizen always plays well over here. He was right in the mix in the St. Andrews a couple years ago. So, you know, there's you know, Charles Schwartzel, another guy. There's all these guys down the list. It's just it's hard to pick one of them, but it'll be a fun weekend of golf for sure.
So I put together my list of guys. I'm doing another one of those pools that a lot of people do for the big golf tournaments. You get one out of every tier. I picked Jordan Spieth, and then the guy that I really like and is playing really well right now, Francesco Molinari, the Italian man. And Steve, I think you should really like him
because of
your Italian heritage.
I have him number 6 on my power rankings.
Yeah, you know. I don't know. There's just something about Molinari in the majors. He just doesn't hold up.
His last 5 starts worldwide, he's had 2 wins. And the other ones, I think he's finished 2 of the other 3's finished runner-up. So he is on fire. The thing I'm kind of nervous about him, he's played on the PGA Tour the last 2 weeks. So he's finished 1st and 2nd or 3rd. So he might have a little bit of jet lag going back to Europe. So it's hard to keep playing that good and winning. So I think he's going to be in the mix, but he might fade over the weekend.
You know, I look at the list of the top 100. Number 70, Thomas Peters.
Yeah, he's been struggling this year. Yep.
It's hard to believe.
He's Belgian, isn't he?
I can't remember what he is, but I cannot believe he is that low because he's done well in this tournament, and he bombs it. He's a bomber.
Yeah, he actually did really well in the Ryder Cup. He was one of the few bright spots when the U.S. beat him last time, but he can get it going. Don't be surprised if he's there. There's just a lot of guys down the list that you see. You're like, man, that guy has a chance.
And, you know, you talk about the depth. This is why Tiger Woods, even if Tiger was playing close to form, is never going to reach Jack Nicklaus's record for majors.
Too many good players.
There's too many good players now. It isn't like 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think golf has really gotten so much better in the last 10 years. There's been the Europeans have gotten so much better too.
Yeah, they have. They've gotten a lot better on the PGA Tour as well. I mean, they come over and they compete and win tournaments now. So
it's funny to look back to the beginning of that Tiger run, or at least like the prime of it, that it feels like everybody was afraid of him. And now, I don't think there's anybody that tour-wide people go, ooh, you're not going to win when he's playing well. It just feels like, kind of like what you guys were saying, there's so many good golfers right now.
And he's 42.
But they also kind of have a lot of respect for each other. Where it felt like it was Tiger and everybody else. And now, I mean, you just look at the top 10 guys, they're all kind of friends, and that's what's made golf a little different, and I think that's part of why there's just so many different winners every single weekend.
Yeah, a lot of these guys are now just super confident in their game. They all have the best coaches around them, all these, you know, the best workout.
Psychologists.
Yeah, I mean, they got everything now, and they all just go out there and enjoy the game and have fun and just compete against their buddies. And, you know, Tiger, with his older age, I think he's so happy to just be playing again. He's so friendly to everybody. I think that's kind of hurting his little, you know, game he plays.
Roar.
Yeah, but
the red shirt. Wearing red today. Big deal.
If he does get it going and he's right at top, you might see some guys get still a little nervous around him, but
not queasy knees.
Yeah, not like it used to be. I don't think.
You mean like if I would, 1 year in the city when I shot 69, you shot 65, you weren't fearing me?
No.
No, I don't think so.
We still had to play the country club on Sunday.
All right, let's take our final break. When we come back, we're going to get our final predictions, and then Treg will give us an update on anything else coming up at Turkey Creek to keep your eye on and some tournaments that'll be going on as well. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union. Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE. We're joined in studio by Turkey Creek Golf Course's Trek Fall. We're at the third major. And so now, it's time to give our picks before the Open Championship this weekend. I think last time that you were in here, Steve picked somebody who was like 12 over after the first two days.
I picked Rom.
Ugh.
In the U.S. Open.
And I think, Treg, whoever you picked did not have a good first day.
I picked Jason Day. No, didn't do very well.
Whoever I picked was okay. I might have picked Spieth or Fowler. So now I need your pick. Who is going to host? Is it called the Claret Jug?
Yep. Everything.
Hoist, not host.
All my instincts is telling me to pick a European, but I'm very USA biased. So, you know, my top three are Brooks, DJ, and Ricky. I'm going to go with one of those three, and I'm thinking Dustin Johnson gets a second major this week. He always plays good over there. He's got the nice penetrating ball flight. If he putts it solid, he'll be right in the mix, and I think he gets it done.
He's been playing well everywhere.
Yep,
it feels like every big tournament he's in the top five.
He's the number one player in the world. He always hits the ball well. It just comes down to his putting, and, you know, he's been over playing in this, you know, I don't know how many years now, but he always seems to make the cut or do pretty well, be at the top. I think he's going to catch his buddy Brooks and get a second major.
All right, Steve. The Steve Sell pick of death.
I'm going to go Justin Rose.
Justin Rose.
I think Justin Rose. Too bad. I think Ricky,
too bad for him.
I think Ricky Fowler is right there.
Yeah,
too. My kind of sleeper, Paul Casey. I think he's been playing really good.
I got him ranked 9 on my top 10.
I like Paul Casey. He's played real well. He's done well in the majors. And the thing about Paul Casey is he's one of those guys that, man, when he gets hot, he gets really hot. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a guy that if it stays dry, I mean, and the wind doesn't blow, he's one of those guys that could shoot a 61.
Yep.
He really could.
You know who's going to be in the mix, though, this week? I don't think he's going to win, but I think Tiger's going to be in the mix. He hits his irons well. He's going to hit a lot of irons off the tee.
I quit drinking Kool-Aid. So.
Yeah, I think he'll be in the mix. He's got that little bit heavier putter. He'll be right there, I think.
My prediction will be the first back-to-back champion at the Open since Padraig Harrington, Jordan Spieth.
Really?
I feel good about him.
Okay. Just thinking, is this all going to come together for him this week?
It's all going to come together.
That can happen.
Who else you have in your top three?
I like Ricky Fowler.
Yeah.
Did you take Ricky as well?
I took Ricky. Yeah, he's there every time. He doesn't get in any trouble. And, you know, and he's a really good putter inside 10 feet.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got to be able to putt.
Yeah.
To win a British, I mean, you got to be able to putt to win any tournament, but especially at this tournament.
The greens are a little slower. Your stroke's got to be perfect because you got to hit it harder.
And he bangs.
Oh, yeah. He's perfect for these.
And Tiger, that's what Tiger's been bemoaning is how slow the greens are.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, you know who owns the course record at Carnoustie?
I don't know. Tom Watson.
Tommy Fleetwood.
Is that right?
I think he's been playing awesome. I haven't heard anybody. I didn't pick him because I'm USA biased, but
too much hair.
Yeah, too much hair for me. Yeah,
gotta respect the game.
Yep.
So we'll see who looks the smartest. I get the feeling it's gonna be me. Feeling it's not Steve.
It's not me. It never is.
The first players will tee off tonight. For us, it's a six-hour time difference, so they start at 6:35 a.m. there tomorrow, 12:35 a.m. here. So for those of you that have a little bit of insomnia and you're sitting around at about 12:30, just flip on the Golf Channel and you'll be able to watch. Treg, give us some updates on some events that are coming up at Turkey Creek and get a little free advertising here.
Yeah, well, Turkey Creek Golf Course, the end of this month, we have our Open Championship. It's the 28th and 29th. There's four different divisions. The open divisions from the blue tees, anybody can enter. Senior one divisions from the white tees, that's for people 55 to 64.
Steve
will be in that one, hopefully.
Yep.
Then we have the senior division two, which is 65 and older. They play the gold tees.
Tough to bet against Goldie.
Yep, they get to play the ball up. It's pretty friendly. And then we actually have a women's division this year. We actually have three signed up so far. It's just one day. They just play on Saturday. They get to play the gold tees as well. And then the 11th and 12th, we're having our first ever member guest out at Turkey Creek. So if you're a member at Turkey Creek and you want to play the 11th and 12th, go ahead and get you a guest and call me or the clubhouse and get signed up for that. So.
And big weekend for Turkey Creek golf team.
Yes, we actually are playing. We have the football tournament Saturday morning, and then Saturday afternoon we have the Kansas Cup, and then Sunday morning we're actually taking a squad to the Salina Muni to play in the I-135 Cup. So
yeah, we're doing dual membership this year with the I-35 Cup with Heston and Salina Muni,
yep, mm-hmm.
And then we're in the Kansas Cup. We have Teradyne coming to our place. And we're riding a one-game winning streak,
or one-match
winning streak. We won our first match in 3 years, Rolling Hills out of Wichita, and we had quite a celebration after that because we'd kind of been the bad news bears of the Kansas Cup circuit. So
yeah, the I-135 team, we're right in the mix right now. We've had one event, so we're looking to actually win that one. We'll play at the Muni Sunday, and then I think August 22nd we'll go to Heston to finish it up. So
you've got 54 holes coming up this weekend.
I'm not playing Saturday afternoon. I'm playing Saturday morning and Sunday
now,
morning.
Steve's got 54. Yeah. How do you think he's going to be feeling about Sunday afternoon?
He needs to get a good night sleep Saturday night so he's ready.
Problem
for Sunday
is we're playing at 9 o'clock on Sundays, and we have to drive to Salinas. So that means you still got to get up 7 o'clock just to get ready.
Yeah, I feel pretty confident about our I-135 Cup team. We got a pretty good squad this time.
All right, Treg, thanks for coming in. Bring it on Saturday morning. He's probably going to pair us up behind, like, the slowest group on the course Steve frustrated.
I'm not as scared as you guys as the other team, so we were playing a little psychological warfare with the favorite. You guys are probably right with us.
We're the third favorite?
Yeah, you're probably the third favorite. We're going to try and get in the...
Piper Schmidt and Stuckey and whoever their fourth...
And Joel Piper.
Joel Piper. That's a pretty
solid team. That team can bomb it, so we're gonna try and... Do a little subtle messaging maybe to you guys and them to know the champs are still here.
You can't.
Three-time champs. We're going
like
for four.
Steel traps. We can't be intimidated.
I'll get in John G's head faster.
I will not get rattled. All right, we wrap up today's show. For Treg Fall, for Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by... Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.